Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, folks. I actually, for the second week in a row, have actually got a late start on this, although this time I got in here at exactly the right time. But we have got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and our first one is from Western Journal, and the headline of it just blew me away when I first saw it. The headline is, Biden suggests medical freedom is horrible, and unvaccinated Americans are murderers. Yes, my friends, if you have not been vaccinated, excuse me, you are being called a murderer by our so-called president. So, if you're not vaccinated, you're a murderer. The president of the United States insinuated as much during a CNN presidential town hall event in Baltimore on Thursday night. At a time when tensions over COVID-19 vaccinations couldn't be any higher, Biden just had to go and make things even worse, claiming that one of his biggest concerns is those who try to make vaccination a political issue. The president went on to mock unvaccinated Americans with an unflattering impression. Now, the persons who are trying to make this vaccination a political issue is the president, Kamala Harris, our governor in this state, Lujan Grisham. They're all making it a political issue. But he said, while pretending to be an unvaccinated American, he said, freedom, I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID, unquote. I mean, come on, freedom? This is the view that many on the left share, unfortunately. If you refuse to get vaccinated for personal reasons, you're putting others' lives at risk. If you think about it, this makes absolutely no freaking sense, folks. At this point, anyone who wants to get vaccinated against COVID has done so. So the vast majority of Americans who are still unvaccinated aren't fearing for their lives. They simply do not wish to take the vaccine for whatever reason. Plus the fact we have, with all the stuff that's coming out, we know that this is not a vaccine. It is not a cure-all. You get the vaccine, you'll still get COVID. And a lot of people have, and I've talked about this over the last couple of weeks and over the last month on my updates and on my last show. Folks, you still get COVID if you are vaccinated. So what the hell do we need to get the vaccination for? God gave us an immune system that is wonderful at keeping us healthy. If we catch something like COVID, then our immune system makes antibodies that will fight it so that you can get better, and then you won't catch it again. And our immune system, folks, does not have spike proteins in it like this so-called experimental drug therapy thing that they've got flying around, and they're doing everything they can to make the people take it. I mean, the other day, Pfizer or Moderna, one or the other, went ahead and got their stuff approved by the government. No tests have been made on these things the way that normal vaccines normally are. I mean, when we had the polio vaccine, and I've had a lot of people talking to me about this, they're saying, well, there's a polio vaccine. Well, look how many years it took them to come up with the right thing, and it was tested, and it was retested, and they made sure that it didn't have any side effects that would kill people or make people sick before it was given out. They had people who would go through these test programs where they would take their their shot, and then they would be monitored by the government and by doctors who knew what the heck they were doing. Here we've got Fauci right now, and I've got another article this evening about how what he has done through since the beginning of COVID is just lie to us, and there's a possibility, not much of one granted, but there is a possibility, you know, if he was any one of us, he would be thrown in jail for at least 5 years. But probably won't happen because the left will protect him no matter what, even if he is doing everything he can to hurt everyone else. But the story went on to say, who then is Biden trying to protect? Well, there's only one group remaining, Americans who have already taken the vaccine. But why should they fear COVID? Doesn't the vaccine protect them from the disease? If not, why make such a big deal of someone not getting the vaccine? And this is what I've been talking about, folks. The article went on to say either Biden and the medical elite are lying about the efficacy of the vaccines, or they're lying about the danger posed by unvaccinated Americans. There's also a third option. They're lying about both. And I think that one is more likely than any of the rest of them. At this point, Biden's COVID rhetoric is nothing more than fear-mongering. He's spouting propaganda in hopes of scaring people into taking the vaccine and seeing things around this state where most all of the people get their news from the Albuquerque Journal, which is just as bad as the New York Slimes when it comes to putting out the truth because they don't know it. Okay? One of the reasons why I get my news from the Western Journal, the Epic Times, and here in New Mexico, the Pinion Post and the Conservative New Mexican. These are all good sites that I can get the true news from. And when I do my updates from Monday through Thursday, guess where I get my news from? What I just told you. If I get any news from like CNN or the New York Slimes or the Albuquerque Journal, it's because I want to show people just how freaking ridiculous and stupid they are in the things that they report. One of the things that I have always been saying is that, you know, since COVID came out, they talk about how warm weather is detrimental to it. Warm weather is detrimental to COVID, and it will kill it. Sunshine will kill it. And I thought that when fall started coming and the weather started cooling down, which it has here a little bit, it's still hitting the 70s, but it's not going up into the 90s anymore. And our lows are getting down into the 40s. So it's cooling off. And I thought for sure that when it started cooling off, we would start getting these injunctions from our liberal government here in New Mexico saying that, of course, since the cold weather is coming, we're going to have more cases of COVID. Well, I saw in the Albuquerque Journal the other day that they're already talking about more cases of COVID hitting. But why should they be? They shouldn't be going up because, according to the left, if you're masked up, which we are, that can save you from COVID. No, it won't. And we are glad that you are here with us tonight. We will be right back after our intro.
But what we we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to say.
Show me where a protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he can...
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
On that last article, the thing that it ended with was really, really good. And people have to listen to this. Freedom might be a big joke to Joe Biden, as he indicated during Thursday's town hall, but to many Americans, freedom is the bedrock principle of this nation. If the American people concede their medical freedom to the federal government, if someday we all agree that Washington bureaucrats have the right to tell us what to put into our bodies, there will be no turning back, folks. And once it is allowed, it will never stop. It will only continue to get worse. Because if we allow this time, the next time we have even just a tiny cold that maybe kills one person out of 50 million, the government's going to walk in and say, okay, we all need to be vaccinated. And because they got away with this one, they will go after the next one, and they will be successful, folks. We have to remember this here, because if we don't, our freedoms will be gone. And like the article ended, there will be no turning back. Everything that we have lost over the last 25, 35 years, folks, in the name of freedom, it will take
and you have to listen here, it will take a revolution to get that back. Because from what we have found out over the last couple of years, when we have a Republican majority, they, unless we get the right Republicans in, they will allow the Democrats to push them around like they did the last time, so nothing will get done. And they will promise the Republicans that when they get back in power, that they will allow the Republicans to have the things that they want in return for letting the Democrats have the things they want now. That will never happen. And we found that out when Obama won the White House after we had probably 20 years of robust economy because of the way that the Republicans were running it. After Obama won, John McCain, and we have to remember this, folks, because this is how the Democrats work. John McCain said, I am glad it's over. Now we can get back together and work on saving this country. And Obama told him, no, John, I won, you lost, elections have consequences. Now, the Republicans can turn that around and do the same thing to the Democrats, but they never do. They never do. They allow the Democrats to say, well, if you'll let us have this, now that we don't have any power, then when we get the power back, we'll allow you to have this. And the Republicans don't seem to realize that they're in power. They can get what they want right then and there. But they stop and they look and they say, okay, fine, we'll give you what you want and you can give us what we want when you're in power. And it never happens, folks. The Democrats get what they want when they're not in power, but when they're in power, they push gung-ho on everything that they want and to hell with what the Republicans want. It's small wonder that we've got people like Ted Cruz and Jim Jordan, and I've got a thing from Jim Jordan here tonight that is really freaking great, but what I want to do right now is this week, my pastor at Legacy Church was back and gave his rant. And I love this rant. I love what he talks about. I love what he says, because he doesn't let the left tell him what to do. Here is my pastor, Steve Smotherman, this last Saturday on his rant.
All of our family and friends online. Last Tuesday, man, we had a ton of people online, and they just wanted to see if I was going to implode or something on the stage. And I didn't quite implode. I was just really tired. But anyway, just so if you don't know, I was gone about 3 weeks. I got the Wuhan bioweapons virus. And that's what I'm calling it, because I'm telling you, man, it's just weird. And all my symptoms were I was tired, I was fatigued, I didn't eat, I lost 10 pounds, I didn't drink. They said my blood pressure was getting dangerously low because I wouldn't drink anything. I just didn't want to eat. All I wanted to do was sleep. And I didn't have any headaches or none of that. But anyway, God was good, okay? And so... And I want to talk about this Dr. Scracy that I think we loosely call him a doctor. He's not an epidemiologist. He's not a virologist. He's not an expert in anything. And seriously, he's not an expert in anything. And I think we should quit listening to him. And here's why, because he has no idea what he's talking about. He's talking about keeping us in masks and all these mandates for the next 2 years. That's crazy. And then, folks, everybody says, let's get back to normal. Folks, they don't want you to get back to normal. I guess when I talk to people, I don't understand how you are dealing with right and left issues and not wrong and right issues. And evil and not evil. And You know, and even in the media, they came out and said, oh, the pandemic has ruined the economy. Let me correct everybody in the media. I'm just going to do it because I don't care what they say, because they're not honest. Let me help you. It wasn't the pandemic that ruined the economy. It was bad leadership that ruined the economy. Why is Texas thriving? Why is Florida thriving? Why are all these other states thriving? Oklahoma, Arizona, and not New Mexico, because we have horrible, horrible, evil leadership. So what did she do the other day? It's what I said she was going to do. When she put the mask mandate back out, she came out. What did she do? She extended it again. Guys, it's called conditioning. They're just trying to condition us, and there's not any evidence. There's no studies that says any of this thing worked. In fact, it didn't work. I think I got this on a plane flying to California. I had my mask on. I did. I had it on. And there were people everywhere because they talk about, you know, social distance, except you're sitting next to people you don't know, and the planes are packed. And I don't know if you saw this, but Delta came out and said, we're not going to do the mandated vaccine. We're done. Southwest Airlines, they were pushing the vaccine, and all their people kept calling in sick, including their pilots, and they canceled 1,800 flights over a weekend. And then the CEO came out and said, you know what, we don't think anybody should lose their job for the vaccine. So you guys need to apply for your religious exemptions and medical exemptions. Here's what he's saying, we're not going to mess with it either. And so everybody's pushing back against Joe Biden. And they're saying this is not working. So they believe about half of America, maybe a little bit more, vaccinated. I don't believe it's that high, but people have stopped. You know why, guys? Because if you go look at the study from the UK, they said the death rate from last year to this year is up 81%, and people are vaccinated. They said in teenagers it's up 63 or 62% in the UK. Why is that? Because the vaccination is not an immunization. If you get vaccinated because you have to, fund, you do what you want. See, I don't care. You do whatever you believe is right. Research it. Do what you want. But here's my point. It does not keep you from getting COVID. And when they first came out with it, it was the greatest thing. You won't get COVID. You will get COVID. And I know people that have gotten COVID and spent days, like 5 or 6 days in the hospital, barely making it. They almost died. So here's what I want you to know. God supernaturally gave us an immune system. And I took ivermectin. Oh, by the way, there's a rumor that the governor is going to try to outlaw ivermectin in New Mexico. How stupid can you be? You're not a doctor. You have no right to do it. I took it. I want everybody to know. I took ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, I took 2 Z-packs, I took all the vitamins, and you know what? It helped, and I'm alive, and my oxygen levels never got too low. And so here's what I want you to know. Governor, stay out of our health care. That's what we want to know. So, and stay out of our faith, too. We don't care what you have to say. I don't care. I don't think anybody should care. Her numbers are plummeting, and they need to keep plummeting, and this is my last thing. Why doesn't the media, once again, we need to all call for her resignation. You need to get on social media and say, why doesn't this governor, who said Cuomo, who never paid out a penny, needed to resign? Because if he doesn't resign, we re-victimize the victim. But she victimizes 2 men. And my question is, why isn't the state police or somebody investigating this? It's illegal to go grab people in their private parks. And yet, she paid out, we know, at least $150,000. Why isn't that being investigated? Why aren't we in New Mexico calling for her resignation? That's what she needs to do, resign just like Cuomo did, except he didn't pay anything out. You did. And innocent people don't pay. And she took campaign funds to pay. I don't know if you guys keep up with this, but I sat at home for 3 weeks and just watched. And I was like, I'm going to die watching this stuff. But anyway, I didn't. God bless you. Let's worship our God.
Okay. Now, Pastor Smotherman was right on this. He was absolutely right on the money. What the governor and what the so-called president and what all of the leftist politicians and the ones on the right that are allowing it are doing is nothing more than conditioning the people to continue this on, to make sure that we stay masked up, to make sure that we stay locked down, to make sure that we stay social distanced away from each other. That, my friends, is not the way God made us to be. And as long as we allow this to happen, folks, it's not going to just go away. As long as we allow this to happen in all of our states, New Mexico, California, New York, Michigan, all of these liberal leftist states have got this in their mind that as long as the people are allowing this, let's see how far we can push them. And it's going to get to the point, folks, where we have been pushed too far, and we're going to start fighting back. But the problem with that is the longer we wait, the bloodier and worse it's going to be for us. For each day that passes that these morons like MLG here in New Mexico and Newsom in California and Whitmer in Michigan keep being allowed to do the things they're doing, they're going to get worse and worse. And the longer we let them get worse and worse, the harder it's going to be to stop them. I guarantee you this. Now, here in New Mexico, there's one thing that happened just on the 22nd or the 21st. It was actually yesterday. But Alec Baldwin is doing a movie up in Santa Fe County. And the movie is called Rust. And it's a Western, I think, is from what I understand. But on Thursday, firearm that Baldwin fired on the set of his movie Rust had killed the director of photography, Halanya, I guess, H-A-L-Y-N-A, Hutchins, and injured director Joel Souza. Now, the Indy Wire obtained an email from the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Local 44, which represents prop masters, that said a live single round was accidentally fired on set by the principal actor, hitting both the director of photography, Local 600 member Halanya Hutchins, and director Joel Souza. That statement implies a failure by Baldwin to adhere to multiple basic rules of firearm safety. The California Department of Justice lists six basic gun safety rules, starting with what might be called the golden rule of firearm safety: treat all guns as if they are loaded. Now, I know when I was growing up and my dad taught me and my brother about guns, that's the first thing we learned, folks. Treat a gun like it's loaded all the time. Even if you know there's no clip in it, even if you know there's no bullets in it, you still treat it like it was loaded. Numbers 2 and 3 are keep the gun pointed at the safest possible direction and keep your finger off the trigger until you are ready to shoot. At the very least, Baldwin appears not to have followed the first two rules. If he had been treating the gun as if it was loaded, he would not have pointed it anywhere near other crew members. In addition, even though Baldwin most likely thought the gun was not loaded, it still would not have been appropriate to point it at innocent bystanders. While blanks are not as dangerous as live rounds, they still have the ability to hurt people, and they should be treated as such. As far as the third rule, it is unclear whether Baldwin meant to fire the weapon. If he fired purposely, thinking there was a blank in the chamber, he was only in violation of the first two rules. If he did not mean to fire the gun at all, he was likely in violation of all three. Baldwin has for years been a staunch advocate for gun control. Some Twitter users argued that if he had taken some time to learn more about guns before handling one, he might have known what to avoid. Former American Immigration Lawyers Association Director Matthew Colkin said, if Baldwin had been pro-gun instead of anti-gun, he would not get the same treatment with the establishment media in the wake of the shooting Thursday. If Baldwin were a Republican, the media would be reporting that he shot and killed Hutchins with a semi-automatic firearm instead of referring to the incident as an accidental discharge of a prop gun, Colkin wrote in a tweet. And then there would be the calls for gun control legislation. Meanwhile, progressives were using the incident as a call for more gun control. You see how this is working, folks? Baldwin's situation is certainly a tragedy, and he is surely devastated by what happened. With that said, blaming guns instead of advocating for more education about how to use them is dishonest and irresponsible. And that last part of that line, dishonest and irresponsible, should tell all of us exactly how the left has been when it comes to guns. They are dishonest and irresponsible to the max.
You are listening to NWCR Radio, where the truth rings free with the voice of reason in this very unreasonable world.
Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Blacks by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Has run out right at the moment. I don't have the money to be able to go for it again right at the moment, but their article was about Border Patrol arrests shatter all records at the southern border. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was something that Jim Jordan said. And with this article, I can only get the first paragraph. It says, Border Patrol agents apprehended a total of 1,666,167 illegal immigrants along the southwest border in fiscal 2021, breaking all records since 1925 after the agency was formed, when 22,199 illegal aliens were arrested. Now, this is all Biden's fault, but here is one of the members of our Congress that is actually trying to fight back. Jim Jordan, here's what he had to say about all this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ranking Member, members of the Rules Committee. Earlier, Representative Cheney said, we can have an investigation or we can let it go uninvestigated. I mean, what a ridiculous statement. What the FBI has been investigating this issue for the past, since it happened. Exactly what it's supposed to have. 600 people have been charged.
Now, I'll start this over again, but what he's actually talking about at the beginning of this is the January 6th commission. And I talked about this on my update on Thursday, and I actually put this section into that. If you want to hear it again after the show is over, you can go to Rumble or BitChute or Brightian and go to Removing the Liberal Blindfold at each one of them, and you'll be able to hear this. But here is what Jim Jordan had to say about this, and then he brings up the border in this too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ranking Member, members of the Rules Committee. Earlier, Representative Cheney said, we can have an investigation or we can let it go uninvestigated. I mean, what a ridiculous statement. What the FBI has been investigating this issue for the past, since it happened. Exactly what it's supposed to have. 600 people have been charged. Investigations are supposed to happen in the executive branch. Congress has an oversight function, but Democrats don't want to do that. They don't want to ask the appropriate questions, like why was the security posture so weak that day? Why wasn't the National Guard here? They don't want to ask those questions. Instead, the actions of the January 6th committee, I believe, are a complete assault on Americans' liberty. There have been four batches of subpoenas issued. Four batches. One we're talking about today, Mr. Bannon, Mr. Meadows, Mr. Patel, Mr. Scavino. Second one to Mr. Clark, employee at DOJ, former employee at DOJ. The third batch to organizers of some other rally I didn't know about that happened that day. And then there's been subpoenas issued to 11 individuals, 11 American citizens, who asked the government for permission on an application to hold the Trump rally. But think about this. They put their names on an application. The government asked them to do that. They give that application to the government. The government granted it, and now the January 6th committee petitions them to ask them questions about exercising their First Amendment right to assemble. Here's what they asked them about. Here's what they asked them about. Subpoenaed to those individuals, those 11 individuals, includes a demand for agenda and selection of speakers for the rally. They ask them for coordination of the speakers' respective speeches, discussions of content, and they ask them, think about this, communications with or concerning any member of Congress. So, if some of these individuals happen to talk to a member of Congress exercising their First Amendment liberty to petition their government to redress their grievances, wow, the January 6th committee wants to depose them on those kind of things. Some of these individuals are 20-some-year-old staffers. I mean, this is largely a clerical thing. They filled out this application, setting out chairs, escorting people to their seats, plugging in microphones. No, they're gonna go after them. Even though the investigation the FBI is doing says, fine, scan evidence of any type of coordination. Here's what it says. Violence was not centrally coordinated. This is the Reuters story. Oh, and here's the source. Here's the source on that story. Senior lawmakers have been briefed in detail on the results of the FBI's investigation so far, find them credible, a Democrat congressional source said. So there is an investigation going on where it's supposed to happen in the executive branch. Oh, I forgot. One other thing the January 6th committee has done that I believe is a direct attack on liberty. They've sent letters to the carriers, the tech companies, asking that they for hundreds and hundreds of Americans, according to news reports, asking that they preserve all communications of that individual for the past 6 months. And they told these companies, oh, by the way, Don't let the person we're telling you to preserve information for, don't let them know, like the law requires, don't let them know that we've asked you to do this. And if you feel compelled to follow the law and tell them that this January 6th, that government is asking for this information to be preserved, if you feel compelled to tell us first. The old gag order concept, this is scary where they want to go and what they're doing to Americans' constitutional rights. And finally, I would ask you this sort of fundamental question. How can you expect witnesses to participate when you wouldn't let Republicans participate in the committee? How can you do that? We know what this is about. This plain and simple, it's about, they got nothing else to talk about. They got nothing else to talk. This is the worst administration in history. We went from a secure border to complete chaos. Complete chaos. Every single month has been worse than the one before. March was the highest month on record for illegal crossings, illegal migrant encounters, until April. April was the highest month until May. May was the highest month until June. June was the highest month until July. 212,000 that month alone. They got nothing else to talk about. We went from energy independence to the President of the United States begging OPEC to increase production. I can't talk about that. No, they're going to use this committee to attack American citizens' liberties, fundamental First Amendment rights. We went from relatively safe streets to violent crime up in every major urban area in this country. Can't talk about that. Can't address those problems that real Americans care about. Nope. We're going to assault Americans' First Amendment rights. Can't talk about inflation. Real wages gone down. Supply, can't talk about that. Supply chain problems. Empty shelves in the stores. Can't talk about that. Nope. Going to go after this. I hope every single Republican votes against this. I hope some Democrats decide that this is not how it's supposed to work. We just had a decision last year. The Mazur, these guys are obsessed with going after President Trump. We just had a decision in the Mazur case last year that said this is not how it's supposed to work. Slap back Congress because they wanted to get information that they were entitled to. They don't do the investigations the executive branch does. Mr. Chairman, I look forward to questions.
Okay. On that one, Jim Jordan was right on the money. Just like earlier when I played Steve Smotherman, my pastor's rant for the week, he was right on the money. This is all stuff that the left does not want us to even freaking think about. We are thinking about it, folks, much to their chagrin. And they are starting to do things like the stupidity with the school boards in Loudoun County. It's come out that they knew about the sexual assault against this girl whose father got arrested for being angry at the meeting. Well, of course he's angry. I mean, wouldn't you be? And all I have to stop and say about this whole thing is any of the board members would have been angry too if it would have been their kid. It's just so insane, folks. That all we have going for us right at the moment is the fact that things are getting so much worse and we're just allowing it. Now, people in Loudoun County and other places around this nation are starting to get up in arms about this. And, of course, with what happened in Loudoun County, they went to the FBI and said, oh, you got to stop this. We are being threatened. No, the only thing that was being threatened there was their jobs because they were not doing them. And that is where the left constantly gets things wrong. They want to somebody said hello to me in the chat room, but they want to make us think that they're the only ones who are right when they're not. They are the ones who are wrong 99% of the time. But when it comes to the media and it comes to the leftist way of pushing things, we're the ones who are wrong. We're wrong for trying to defend our children who have been raped in schools by a kid that was running around the school in a dress because he felt like he was female, but he raped the girl anyway, and then they find out that he had raped, that he raped somebody else too. And it's coming out now that the school board knew about this. Who is to blame, the father of the girl or the school board? I'll tell you right now, it's the school board. And, you know, I don't care what anybody who's on the left has to say about this, because no matter what, the left has been wrong on everything. And Andrew Wilkow for years now, for a year or so now, I guess, has been saying, we are right, they are wrong. And he's actually added to that where he says, the topics brought up on this radio program cannot be refuted. And that's where the American people are starting to lose what is going on. Because we are in such a predicament right now that everything that we are doing seems to be leading us in the direction that we don't want to go. And we are allowing the left to get away with all this stuff. And I don't know, folks, what we have to start realizing is that America is not a democracy, like the left says. It is not a democracy. It is more, it is actually a constitutional republic, and majorities don't rule in a constitutional republic. They really do not. And as long as we allow them to set the stage on what is really going on, then we are going to be losers in the long run. And I don't necessarily mean just we on the right. I mean all Americans. But Americans are the ones who are losing in this battle. And what we have to do is start pushing the fact that when we are right, we cannot back down. It's like my pastor said, you know, the leadership in the liberal states, and he named this one because the leadership in this state is completely wrong and evil. And that is how my pastor put it. Our leadership is evil. And as long as the people continue to allow this evilness to keep going in our government, it's going to continue. It's never going to end. It's never going to go away. And we have to start realizing here that as long as we don't let it go away, it's going to continue to get worse. And as it continues to get worse, folks, we're going to have things like Psaki. It's another one I found in the Western Journal today, where she gets real smug with a reporter and tries to correct him when she says that Biden did go to the border 13 years ago. Well, he wasn't president then. 13 years ago, we didn't have a border crisis. So what the heck does 13 years, you know, if we've got a border crisis now, why did it do any good for him to go to the border 13 years ago when we didn't have one? And, the article says a major crisis continues to develop at the southern border. Illegal immigrants crossing over in droves. And we're seeing it here in Albuquerque. And now they're not only just illegal immigrants from the south, they're coming from Afghanistan too. And our governor's letting them in. But says illegal immigrants crossing over in droves, detention facilities packed to the brim with unaccompanied minors. This is something you don't hear about in the lamestream lying media. Drugs pouring into American cities. This is another thing you don't hear from the PSM. Or propagandist socialist media is what I call them. All these problems, and Joe Biden still has yet to visit the border. At a Friday news conference, Press Secretary Jen Psaki denied this fact. Peter Ducey of Fox asked her, why did President Biden say he has been to the border? Biden had made the false claim during Thursday night's town hall hosted by CNN. And Psaki said, quote, well, Peter, as you may have seen, there's been reporting that he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail in 2008. And she went on to say, and he is certainly familiar with the fact, and it stuck with him, and the fact that El Paso, the border, goes right through the center of town. The problem with stuff like this is they've got this gaggle of press people sitting there, and she says something like this, and they let her get away with it. They let her get away with it. Why? Because nobody has the gonads to say, hey, now wait a minute. He was there in 2008, but 2008 is not when the problem was happening. 2021 is when the problem was happening. Where is he now? Well, of course, the answer to that is he's hiding in the basement with Kamala Harris. And they're playing video games or something down there. But whatever they're doing has nothing to do with national security, has nothing to do with the job that they have been entrusted to, even though they didn't win the election. And the question in that article says, is President Biden to blame for the crisis at the border? Yes, no. I put yes. Absolutely yes. And when I put yes, here's what I came up with. The people who voted yes, 100% or 512 votes said yes. No was 0% or 2 votes. Now you got to know that the people who voted no are staunch Biden supporters, which should tell you right then and there, right there, that Biden did not win the election. But that's neither here nor there now because we allowed it. It's kind of gone beyond us being able to say, okay, he didn't win. He's not president, because no matter what, he's president, whether we like it or not. But Psaki had the utter temerity to suggest that the situation at the southern border in 2008 was at was at all comparable with today's crisis. Does she really think the American people are that stupid? Apparently on that one, the answer is yes. Psaki continued to sidestep Ducey's questions with even more spin. She said, quote, but what the most important thing everybody should know and understand is that the president has worked on these issues throughout his entire career and is well-versed in every aspect of our immigration system, including the border. Well, this unquote. Joe Biden has done nothing his entire career. He has done nothing to help America his entire career. But the article goes on to say, well, 9 months into Biden's presidency, it's nice to know that all that experience has amounted to one of the worst border catastrophes in American history. He does not need to visit the border to know what a mess was left by the last administration. That's his view, Psaki said. Oh, so now we've got a mess that was left by Trump. How come when Trump was president, we didn't hear anything about this? How come when Trump was president, we didn't have people streaming into the border in at numbers that nobody could stop? How come we had people and Mexico helping to hold the people in Mexico until they had been gone through with the proper authorities, which isn't happening now, because Biden got rid of all of that. The stay in Mexico thing, Biden got rid of it. Now, he has kind of backed off on that a little bit, but nowhere near the way he should have been. And I'm hoping that my mic is working. I'm using a different one this week, and because my regular microphone, for some reason, here on Blog Talk Radio, it doesn't work that well. It breaks in, breaks out, keeps coming in, coming out. Half of my words are gone. So I decided to start using a Bluetooth headset since I've got a new phone carrier now, and I can actually call directly into the show, which I couldn't do before. And so now I can use my phone and call in and use the Bluetooth earpiece, which actually helps a little bit, I think. Last week it sounded really good, except for when I did my advertisements that I do. And when I got back, my voice was real muffled because the microphone had closed down on the volume and it had to come back up when I started that up again. But we are coming up on the top of the hour pretty quick, and soon I will be going to the advertisements that I go to just before the second hour starts, or just as the second hour starts, and we will be getting ready to do the second hour of the show. I'm glad to see Vincent's in the chat room. It's really good to see him there. He could probably give me some pointers on some of the things I'm talking about, because he's usually keeps himself pretty well informed on what is going on. And I know this last week we had Vince had his birthday, and I hope he had a great birthday, because he took that time off. He's probably not going to be here tomorrow either, because he said he was going to take the 16th and the next week off. So but last week Bing came back and actually did his show, which was really cool. His wife had broken or fractured her foot. He was kind of having to do a lot of work around the house, so he didn't get much done. But we will be right back after these messages, and we'll see you in the second hour.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. so much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico and CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Back for the second hour. One of the things that I found, and I'm going to continue to push on this woman because she needs to be taken out of office. They've got people who are trying to get her to resign, which, of course, she's a liberal Democrat. She ain't going to resign. She doesn't think she's done anything wrong. But she, after an ethics complaint was filed by Santa Fe Republican Party officer and Stop MLG founder Brett Coconatus, scandal-ridden alleged serial groper, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, returned
illicit campaign donations that exceeded contributional limits. Now, with her returning that, doesn't mean that she's now in the right. Because she's not. If she hadn't had this guy go after her and other people going after her, I went after her myself, if we hadn't gone after her, and my pastor of my church hadn't done his rants that completely show the bad side of her, she would have never returned these contributions. But the governor returned $4,200 to Intrepid Potash, a Denver-based mineral company, which gave Lujan Grisham $25,000 when gubernatorial candidates were only allowed $20,800 from each entity. Now, there's several of them that gave more, that gave the full amount twice. But I haven't heard anything about those. But according to the Associated Press, the Lujan Grisham campaign also amended its filing to identify previously undisclosed sources of four recent campaign contributions. Well, maybe they did. Those include two donations, including totaling $10,400 from Chevron Policy, Government and Public Affairs, a $4,000 contribution from a political committee led by a Democrat State Senate President Mimi Stewart, and $2,500 from the Health Care Service Corporation Employees Political Committee. Now, one of the things here in New Mexico that actually kind of took me by surprise, Governor Grisham wants to get rid of the oil industry, period. She's just like Biden. She wants to get rid of the oil. And that is the big, that's the big industry here in New Mexico. Without that, we lose a lot of the state's income. But she wants to tear this whole thing down. But the thing that really surprised me was the companies, the oil companies actually were some of her biggest donors. Why would they donate to a woman who wants to get rid of you? That one I didn't understand. But Health Service Corporation reportedly oversees Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Mexico, a state-sanctioned provider of Medicaid health care coverage. Republican House Leader Tom Townsend, Republican of Artesia, is a contributor to Stop MLG. When Coconatus filed the complaint, he said, "New Mexicans deserve better than this. This governor's habitual behavior is hurting the state and its citizens for all for personal gain for the governor. Her illegal actions have embarrassed New Mexico for too long, from ignoring the legislature during the extended COVID restrictions, ignoring and violating her own public health orders, using campaign donations to settle alleged sexual allegations to the tune of $170,000 now, purchasing lavish meals and alcohol, covering up issues at the CYFD, and now violating ethics laws, all while New Mexicans continue to suffer under her unfair policies. It's obvious why we should accept monies in any amount. She needs them to aggressively campaign to combat her failed and unfair policies." And this is so true, folks. There are people right now, my pastor included, who is calling for her resignation. And the best thing that could happen to this state right now is if the Albuquerque Journal, which it wouldn't, called for her resignation. If the people in our government here in Albuquerque would call for her resignation, which they won't. I've got some good news on that point, too. But she needs to be taken out. Another ethics complaint filed by Pinion Post founder and editor John Block in May is still ongoing, in which Block is going after the governor for improper use of campaign funds to pay her daughter, Erin Grisham, for hair and makeup, a direct violation of state law and Secretary of State guidance. Governor Lujan Grisham is up for re-election in 2022, facing off against seven Republicans, including businesswoman Karen Bodoni, Sandoval County Commissioner Jay Block, who also does the Pinion Post, State Representative Rebecca Dow, Right to Life New Mexico Executive Director Ethel Maharg, businessman Louis Sanchez, who goes to my church and I endorse him, former Gary Johnson staffer Tim Walsh, and financier Greg Zanetti. And these were listed in alphabetical order. But the people had better start paying attention, or she's going to win again. She carries the cities in the northern part of the state, which has a bigger population than the rest of the state included. And we have to get her out of there, period. We have to. There is just absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts about it. During this COVID time, she has killed, never to return, over 40% of the small businesses here in New Mexico. They're gone. I am in the process now. I'm going to be driving around the next couple of days, and I'm going to start taking pictures. Over here on Wyoming, up by Montgomery, there is a small strip mall down there that since COVID has closed. They're tearing the buildings down now. That is our governor's fault. Furs Cafeteria here in Albuquerque have closed down. They've got one over here by Walmart close to where I live. They've got a fence around it now, which means that they're probably going to be bringing in equipment, tear that building down. As soon as that one starts coming down, I'm going to get some pictures. That is Lujan Grisham's fault. There is another place that we always went to before the pandemic started. It was called Salads and More or something like that. They've closed. Now, the building that they're in probably won't be torn down because it's got other things. It's another strip mall that there are other things in there, like a hobby store, and Metro PCS is in there and several other things. But there are all kinds of restaurants in this town that have closed up. They're gone. No more to be seen. The only ones that are still around are the ones that have the money to be able to survive what is going on. Wex, which is a local restaurant, they're still here. Denny's is still here. Village Inn is still here. But there are a lot of restaurants that were locally owned that no longer exist. Golden Corral actually had to close down for a while, and it's only because of the size of the company that they're still around. Folks, if you live in a liberal state, you're probably going through the same things that we are here in New Mexico, and this kind of stuff has got to stop, because if we do not put a stop to all of this, it's never going to end. We are being, just like my pastor said, this is not about COVID. This is not about anything but control. They are conditioning us to always wear masks. They are conditioning us to always social distance. They are conditioning us to take the shots, whether we believe in them or not. They are conditioning us to do everything that they want us to do. And as long as we're allowing this, folks, it's not going to just go away. As soon as they get what they want, it's not going to go away. Because as soon as they get what they want, folks, they are going to go after the next step in their whole idea of stopping America. There is nobody who is more anti-American than the Democrat Party right now. And I try not to call them the Democrat Party, because when I was growing up, the Democrat Party actually did love America. They don't anymore. But I call them demoral rats, demonic brats, because they're everything of the sort. They're evil as can be. And what is going on here is that America is really starting to lose out here. Things like what Psaki, when she corrected that reporter and said Biden did go to the border 13 years ago, Republicans would have never gotten away with that. The Democrats would not have allowed it. But because the Democrats have been able to do this kind of bullshit to us over the last 50 years or so, they're getting better and better at doing it. So they can say it with a straight face. Oh, yeah, he went to the border 13 years ago, so everything is completely fine. It's being handled. He was there 13 years ago. He knows what's going on at the border. My question on that one would have been, yeah, well, if he knows what's going on in the border, why isn't it being fixed? Why is he hiding in the basement with Kamala Harris? I found another article the other day, and it just came to me just a few seconds ago, but it has been about 3 months since Biden has given a real press conference. Most of his conferences have been like with the town hall thing the other day. It was during an influx of sports. They had football games, pro, college, and high school all over the place that day. They had basketball. They had baseball. They had soccer. They had everything going on that day. Everything. Hello, bringing it, boy. Good to see you there. Everything that was going on was 100 times more interesting than Biden himself. But that's when he gave his town hall meeting, during all of this other stuff, so people would not even hear what he had to say because they were listening to something else. Even though it is actually fun to listen to him talk because of all of his gaffes and all of his stupidity that keeps coming out of his mouth. But, you know, even though I don't watch sports, well, I watch basketball every once in a while. Football, I really haven't this year because of them kneeling. That, to me, just goes against, flies in the face of all of the people who have sacrificed their lives for this country over the years. The Democrats get away with this kind of thing. And the only reason for it is because most of the Republicans allow it. And it's like I said earlier, the Democrats promised them that if the Republicans let them have what they want when they don't have power, you know, when the Republicans are in power, then when the Democrats take power back, they'll let the Republicans have something. And I always thought, why the hell do they do that? I mean, when the Republicans are in power, why do they allow the Democrats to say, well, when we get back in power, we'll allow you to have what you want if you allow us to have what we want? Why not just take what you want right now because you're in power? Democrats do it, and when they make us these deals where they say, oh, we'll give you what we want, what you want when we take power, they don't. They're just like Obama. When Obama won the election against John McCain, and he told John McCain, after McCain told him, okay, I'm glad this is over, we can get back to running the country now, Obama told McCain, no, John, I won, you lost, elections have consequences. And that is how the Democrats run. That is how they work. When they're in power, nobody else gets what they want. Only the Democrats do. But when the Democrats are not in power, they want to get what they want while promising that when they get in power again, they will give the Republicans what they want. They never do. They never have. They never will. It's just a little ploy that they have gotten away with every election cycle since Reagan. Well, even before then, probably. And they're constantly making these promises that everybody who is in the know of what is going on knows that all they're trying to do is get their way now with the promise of giving something back later, which everybody knows they never will. And then we have to look at this stupid face of Jen Psaki, who's constantly smiling this stupid evil grin of hers, and then telling people, oh yeah, Biden was at the border 13 years ago, so everything's fine. Yep, and that's exactly right. You know, bringing up Boy says, you kept your word on the Democrats, like to say, accuse the Republicans of our way or the highway. That's exactly what they do. And then they try to make us out as the bad people when things start going against them. And no, we're not the bad people, folks. We're not. We're just trying to save a nation that was founded 200-some years ago on the premise that the people were in charge, not the government. But the Democrats want the government to be in charge. And the horrible part about this is they have succeeded so well that they have the media on their side, and most people don't even know what the hell's going on anymore because they will not search and look out for the correct news. Instead, they'll read things like the New York Times and the Albuquerque Journal to get all their news. And the only thing you will get from these publications is lies. Lies that tell the Democrat side, never the Republican side. Never the Republican side. But I have another one here where said in 1992, this one was about Biden struggling to speak, gives up and says, oh, what am I doing here? In 1992, and this one comes from the Western Journal and was posted today, in 1992, during the most improbably successful third-party run in presidential for the presidency in normal American political history, billionaire businessman Ross Perot, now you remember this one, selected retired Navy Vice Admiral James Stockdale as his running mate. Stockdale was a relatively unknown and rarefied heir of presidential politics, but his resume as a leader was impeccable. As the Department of Defense's website notes, he was the only three-star admiral to have worn both aviator wings and the Medal of Honor. A prisoner of war in Vietnam, he also spent 8 years in the Hanoi Hilton, but you never hear about him. You always heard about John McCain. He was president of the Naval War College until his retirement from the service in 1979, by which point he had earned 2 Distinguished Flying Crosses, 3 Distinguished Service Medals, and 4 Silver Stars and 2 Purple Hearts. Perot was the last third-party candidate to meet the 15% threshold set by the Commission on Presidential Debates to appear on stage against the Republican and Democratic candidates, meaning Stockdale also appeared in the vice presidential debate. Attempting to address his relative anonymity straight off, Stockdale quipped, "Who am I? Why am I here?" America didn't get the joke. It became Stockdale's epitaph. Nothing he did before or after would much stick with our cultural consciousness, thanks to all in no small part to the media's ill-concealed joy in reporting Stockdale's failed attempt at humor. We all remember one of our great war heroes as a man who found his way onto a vice presidential debate stage by accident as if he'd been sleepwalked there in his bathrobe and slippers. 29 years and 8 days after James Stockdale said those words in jest, the President of the United States stood on a stage and asked, in all seriousness, what am I doing here? And the media didn't bat an eye. On Thursday, President Joe Biden was in Baltimore for another interminable softball CNN town hall. And it's like I told you on that one. Yeah, I'm glad your birthday was great, Vince. I just looked at the chat room and saw that you had posted that. I'm glad that you had a great birthday. That's really fantastic. For instance, did you know Biden once raced Corvettes with the recently deceased Colin Powell? If you watched, you did. Biden said, according to the CNN transcript, he and I went out to the Secret Service racetrack. He had a brand new Corvette his family bought him, his kids bought him, and I have a 67 327 350, and we raced. Now, how could you have a 327 and a 350 in a car? That to me is just, oh well. He said, we raced. And you know the only reason, no, I'm serious, it was Jay Leno. Check it out, Jay Leno, he's a hell of a guy. Biden, 9 times out of 10, has absolutely no freaking clue what he's talking about. And the media covers up for him. They won't say anything, although if it was a Republican, if Bush had said something like this, oh man, it would have been front page news for months. If Trump had said anything like this, it would have been front page news for months. But Biden says this, oh, it's just normal operating procedure, which to me actually tells me that they know how horrible he is. They just don't want to talk about it. And, well, I'm glad you got to visit your birth home. I was born in Butte, Montana, and I haven't been back since I moved out of there. I think I was in kindergarten when I moved out of Butte. We moved to Dillon, Montana, and then from there went to Oregon, and I haven't been back to Montana since. So I'm glad you got to go and visit your birth home and everything. That's really great. And hopefully next week when you have your second week off, you'll get to do something else that's really cool. But the article went on to say the news that came out of the town hall, at least to the media, is that Biden said, we're going to have to move to a point where we fundamentally alter the filibuster. The takeaway was supposed to be that Uncle Joe was angry at those do-nothing Republicans opposing his agenda and was about to unleash the dogs of hell upon them. The problem with this bombshell was that, A, Biden has said this before, with the president taking serious jabs at the institution of the filibuster since at least March, and B, the president can't change the filibuster and hasn't persuaded the holdout Democrats in the Senate who have refused to alter it. Specifically, I just lost my place. I was looking back at the chat room again. But specifically, Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kristen Siema of Arizona. And then this whole thing with Joe Biden Hiding Biden. That's I absolutely love that. And I don't know why I keep forgetting to use that one, because that is probably one of the best descriptions of Biden that I have ever heard. He will not do anything when things need to be done. He hides. He hides in the basement with his vice president, and they're down there playing hokey pokey or something. They're doing something down there. But, he's been to Montana. Yeah. Oh, well. We will be right back after this.
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. Conservative Nation Media, America's best truth detector.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://amazon.com/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today. CNM is trying to find new shows for the weekdays that are open. We have three shows now on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The open days are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you have a show that you are looking to air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, day that you want to be on, the time that you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air.
I just listened to that thing, and I just realized that since I went back to Friday, I'm going to have to change that ad because now our days are from Monday through Thursday that are open instead of Tuesday through Friday. So I'm going to have to change that one. But we are back to the final segment of the show. One of the things that I had mentioned when towards the beginning of the show was that the Fauci has been found out and that he could spend 5 years in jail. Now, I found this article in the Western Journal, and I thought it was an interesting article because it actually talks about how he lied to Congress and all this stuff, and he should be going to jail. But, and I think Vince agrees with me and probably bringing a boy in the chat room, if it happens, it'll be a surprise to me. But the article said there's no denying it now. Dr. Anthony Fauci lied to Congress about the National Institute of Health's involvement in the gain-of-function research at Wuhan, China, the source of the COVID-19 outbreak. After months of the of so-called experts claiming the novel coronavirus couldn't have possibly been developed in a lab, it was discovered that a research lab in Wuhan, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, had been experimenting with modified bat coronaviruses in mice, ultimately would result in the virus becoming more transmissible among humans. However, Hayden Biden can go to, can go and Brandon himself. Yeah, I'm going to have to remember that one because I saw something about what YouTube did today, and I've got to bring that one up too. I actually got to YouTube, and they have actually banned that song, Go Brandon song, and it's about the fourth most listened to song in the whole nation right now. And YouTube has banned it because you can hear in the background, F Biden, F Biden, and they, you know, and it's not, they're not being genteel like I am. They actually come out and say the actual F word. But YouTube has gotten rid of that song, thinking that if they get rid of it, maybe no one else will listen to it. But it's like the fourth most listened to song in the nation right now. And I think it's absolutely hilarious. But back to the article that I was reading about the research, it says, however, the left's favorite so-called expert on things COVID, Dr. Anthony Fauci, denied that the NIH ever funded such gain-of-function research in front of Congress. Others among the left-wing elite, journalists, Democrats, scientists, and other public health experts backed Fauci's play on this. To them, all those who dared to suggest the NIH may have had some involvement in the testing and development of coronavirus were spreading conspiracy theories. No, we're not. Well, now we know the truth. As it turns out, it was the experts that got this one wrong, as it seems to be happening more and more and more often nowadays. On Wednesday, the NIH principal deputy director, Lawrence Tabak, T-A-B-A-K, sent a letter to House Oversight Committee ranking Republican James Comer, admitting as much, and Just the News reported this. Of note, Tabak's letter pointed out that the bat coronaviruses under development at the Wuhan lab, quote, are not and could not have become SARS-CoV-2, unquote, due to genetic differences in the sequences of the viruses. The news reported that the NHL funded the Wuhan virus because it had determined the proposed research didn't meet the standard for enhanced pathogens of pandemic potential because it wasn't shown these bat coronaviruses could infect humans. But they knew that, knew it would. However, NIH, out of an abundance of caution, this was in quotes, out of an abundance of caution, required EcoHealth, an organization partnered with WIV, Wuhan Institute of Virology, to immediately report a one log increase in growth that should have happened. According to Tabak, EcoHealth failed to do so and now has 5 days to turn over any and all unpublished data from their current research to the NIH. It's possible that when the proposed research was first brought before the NIH, Fauci was unaware that it could become gain of function, but I think he knew from the very start this was no accident. As Vince said, he said, I think this pandemic was a dress rehearsal. And that's exactly right. It's, you know, it's like I've been saying, the Democrats don't want actually want control over the people when it comes to this pandemic. And as long as we allow them to push it the way they are, it is doing nothing but conditioning us for what's coming. And what's coming is not going to be pretty, folks. I guarantee you this. But furthermore, the report released on August 1st by the House of Foreign Affairs Committee found that safety protocols at the WIV were in question, and at the time of the outbreak, the facility appears to have been undergoing multiple maintenance and repair projects. So while many experts, including Tabak, are now claiming that the virus could not have come from WIV, the available facts don't seem to add up. And after a year of flip-flopping on COVID policies and lying about COVID-19 itself, how are we supposed to trust these so-called experts? I know I don't. Anthony Fauci has been heralded as the most trustworthy of them all by the establishment media. And we now know that he lied before a legislative body. According to CNBC, anyone who willfully and contrary to such oaths states or subscribes any material matter which he does not believe to be true has perjured themselves and is subject to a fine or imprisonment of up to 5 years or both. Now, if they held him to the same standards that they hold Republicans, folks, he'd be in jail right now. Absolutely, he would be in jail right now. But the rules simply don't apply to those in charge when they're on the left, no matter how wrong their positions on COVID-19 continue to be or anything else for that matter. They seem to get away with everything. And you know, a good example of the way they think is Ted Kennedy. When what had happened in 1968 when he killed that girl in his car, and I've reported on this many, many, many times. He was driving with no insurance, with an expired driver's license. He was drunk. He left the scene of the accident and didn't report it to the police until the next morning. And in that time, that girl sat inside of an air bubble inside his car until it disappeared. He went home. Now, if bringing up Boy or me or Vince or Trump or any of these people, you know, had done the same thing, we'd be in prison for the rest of our lives if not executed for it. But what happened to Ted Kennedy? Nothing. He was the lion of the Senate until he died. He was in the Senate, a murderer in the Senate. But because he's a Democrat, everything was fine. He was okay. Try to have a Republican do something like that, or try to have somebody who's not a Democrat, maybe an independent, try something like that. They'd be in jail for the rest of their lives. And then Hillary Clinton, with her Benghazi moment, that would have put any one of us on the right in jail, too. But what's she doing? She's still out there giving us her bullshit on what she wants us to do for her. And all the while, the body count for the Clinton establishment keeps growing. And folks, the reason why the Democrats get away with so much that the Republicans never could, because nobody holds them accountable for what they do. But when the foot is switched, it goes against the Republican. Oh yeah, accountability has to be there. It just has to be. That was weird. My earpiece just popped, but hopefully it's still working. But bringing up Boy says it's just absolutely perfect. Denial plausibility. Absolutely. Deny possibility. You get towards the end of the week and you're fingers don't want to work anymore, it seems like, especially if you type all day like I do. But It's like when I was getting ready to do this show, I was typing up the stuff I wanted to do, and I kept, my fingers kept shifting to another, and I was typing up stuff, and I looked up, and nothing made sense on what I was writing, so I had to erase it all and start all over again. Whereas this morning, I was just typing up a storm, and it was going fine. Everything was typing just the way it should, and I got this afternoon, it was like I was having troubles getting anything to work. And the boy says, my fingers are faster than my brain. Well, that's, for me, that in the afternoon when I start getting going, my brain slows down, my fingers speed up, and that's where I run into all kinds of problems. So I just stopped typing my stuff, because I used to type out my stuff, and I'd have 30 or 40 pages typed up, and then I'd print them out so I could just read them as I went along. And I'd know exactly where to do my breaks, and I'd know exactly what breaks to do and what to do during the breaks and what advertisements to do, because I had it all written down. And that just don't work anymore. So I figured out that all I have to do is have two computers, and my other one, I'll constantly look for the news on it, and then the one with my studio on it, I use that for the studio most of the time. Every once in a while, I'll see an article that I want to see, and I'll open it up on that page so I can just, I go completely away from my studio. And everything seems to work out fine this way. So I've stopped typing out my script like I used to. But, God, I was doing like 30, 40 pages a show for all the things I was doing, and I went through so much ink. My printer just, every week, you could see it just groaning, oh no, here he comes, this is going to be bad, I'm going to have to print out 30 or 40 sheets, and it's going to be double-sided, so it's really going to be 80 sheets, and it's, oh my gosh, I've got to give up the ghost and go home. Trouble is, it was home. So, I am coming up towards the end of the show, and I want to thank Vince for being here. Like I said, he will not be here tomorrow. He has got this second week already scheduled off, so we won't have a show tomorrow, but we will probably have one on Sunday, because Bing was back last Sunday, and he had his show, and it actually turned out to be a pretty good show. He was apologetic for being gone for so long, but he was, you know, he was doing the right thing. I mean, if my wife had broken her foot, I'd have probably canceled my show for a while too. So, you know, to make sure everything was going okay, because when I'm doing the show, I'm closed up here in this room, and this is my studio. Nobody comes in here. The door's shut. And my wife's in the other part of the house, so if she got hurt, I probably wouldn't know anything about it unless she screamed or something like that. But but I'm glad that Vince had a really good birthday. I'm glad that he got to go to his hometown. And so, yeah, I was kind of wondering why last week I kept trying to ask Bing how his wife was doing, and Bringing It Boy kept answering me. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, now why is he answering when I'm asking Bing? And apparently she, Bringing It Boy's wife, broke her foot, and he has to do her show now. So I might have to go out and give that show a listen, see how he does doing her show. But I hope that her foot gets better too. It seems like a lot of people have been hurting themselves lately. I guess maybe it might be because we're starting to do things again. And since we have been going for a year and a half or so without doing anything, all of a sudden we're getting out and doing things, and we're things are happening. And so I hope nobody else gets hurt. That's kind of a prerequisite here. We don't want people getting hurt. Well, you know, Biden can fall into a well. I wouldn't care, but that's the one thing that I know that we have a difference between the left and the right here, is that usually when things start happening that are bad for the left, we don't run around saying, I hope he dies. The left does, but the right doesn't. Holes in the wall, damn studs. yeah, bring it, boy, says, this administration makes you put holes in the wall. Yeah, well, I don't think I've got any around here. Well, yes, I do. I got little bitty ones that I've pounded nails into the wall with. But over the last week or so, I've had better lighting for my my updates that I do, because I went and bought me one of those round lights that are for, like, logging and stuff, or vlogging, whatever they call it now. And it's got different colors that I can use. It's got bright white, medium white, and then yellow white, and I can, and at different brightnesses and things like that, so I can put the light exactly the way I need to, whereas before I couldn't do my updates at nighttime. I had to wait until in the morning so that I'd have light to do it with. And now I can do it with that light. And I can actually put my phone up there and use my phone for it too, which gives me a little bit better picture. But I haven't tried that one yet. But we are getting towards the end of the show. I think I might have one more article that I was looking for. They were talking about Biden inflation. And the whole thing that is going on right now, 475, I heard somebody say something about California, and I'm not sure where you're living, bringing it, boy, you say it gas is 475 a gallon there where you're at. Somebody from another part of California said they were paying $7.25 or something like that a gallon. And that's just insane. Here it's about $3.40 average right at the moment. And when Biden took office, it was $1.49 or something like that. And now it's about $3.40. And bringing it, boy, lives in San Bernardino, down by San Bernardino, and there the price of gas is $4.75 a gallon. And we've still got 3 years plus of this moron in the White House left. I don't know about you folks, but I think the time is coming for us to rebel, for us to pull back and say, hey, now wait a minute, this is enough. America can't survive any more of this. And I know that it probably won't happen, because Americans just don't seem to understand until it gets to the point where it's so damn bad that they have to react. Like when Reagan took office, that was an American Revolution, essentially. And that kind of thing has to happen again. And bring a boy, say, charge. Yeah, and you know, that's what I've been talking about on my updates too. It's time, folks. We need to stop what the Democrats are doing. They are destroying this country. They are destroying our economy, while the media covers for them and says everything is hunky-dory. I mean, the last jobs report that I heard supposedly was horrible. Biden tried to make it sound like it was progress, and the media is constantly reporting that they've got like 4%, 4.5% unemployment. There ain't no freaking way it's that low. There is no way in the world that it's that low. After all of the jobs that Biden has destroyed and the Democrats have destroyed since Biden took office, There is no way unemployment is anywhere near 4%. It's probably not anywhere near 8% either. And then all of a sudden we've got the price of gasoline skyrocketing, and it goes up every week. They've got the price of food going up, and it's going up every week. The price of milk, the price of water even is going up. And right now they're saying inflation is the worst that it's been in 30 years. And Biden says, oh, everything's fine. And he blurts out a couple of things that you don't understand. Then he comes back with, don't worry. And he blurts out something else that you can't understand. He says, everything's great. No, it's not. That man is single-handedly destroying America. Sadly, all the Democrats are right along with it. If they're not going to go against him on this, they're complicit with it. So the Democrats are complicit with all of this. The Republicans that actually vote with them are complicit with all of this, and they all need to go. They all need to go before this nation gets destroyed. They're trying to make us say, they're trying to tell us that they are having so much trouble because Trump left the country in such a bad shape and the border was in such bad shape at that point in time. Well, if it was so bad at that point in time, why didn't we ever hear about illegals streaming over the border and then being brought in and taken to all kinds of cities all over the nation? Didn't happen. But Biden's trying to make us think it did. Biden's trying to make us think that he is doing a great job. We all know he didn't. We all know he isn't. And the thing that scares me to death, folks, is the fact that he's getting away with this. And he's getting away with it because the media follows right along with him. They keep saying, oh, yeah, he's doing great. Unemployment's low. Blacks have got the most people working that they've ever had. No, they don't. And then Southwest Airlines, one of the ones that flies in through here all the time, they were all for the mandates. I think they've completely changed everything around now because they had canceled like over 1,800 flights in 1 week. And they've suddenly turned around. Delta has turned around and will not allow this stuff anymore. So it's starting to fall apart for Biden. It's just not falling apart fast enough. And I just got the announcement that I've got less than 90 seconds left now. So I'm going to have to say goodnight to all of you people. Thank you, Bringing It Boy, for being here. Thank you, for Vince, for being here. And I'll end the show by charge. We've got to do something about this, folks, because this nation is being destroyed from within. And it's just like Stalin who once said that America cannot be destroyed from without, but it will be destroyed from within. And that is where we're at now. So good night, Bringing It Boy. Good night, everybody. Good night, Vince. God bless you all. Have a great evening and have a great weekend. And I'll see you guys next week. Or if you see me on my updates, you'll see me on Monday. And I will talk to you guys later. And here's my ending song. Woo-hoo.
By the dawn.
I was kind of goofing around with Western Journal, and I found this article that I have to say something about, and I'll probably talk about it tomorrow. But the headline on it is, Joe Biden loses his mind on air, claims to have been a senator for 370 years. And it says, throughout his time serving as president, Biden has puzzled millions with his many gaffes, blunders, and awkward mishaps. One video from Thursday's presidential town hall stands out as particularly peculiar, however, with Biden at one point appearing to lose his mind. Speaking with CNN's Anderson Cooper, Biden appears to have said, I was a senator for 370 years. Now, if you want to go to Western Journal and see this, they actually have a video there, and it says, don't believe it, watch it for yourself. And it and the question on this is, how close are you to a deal on your Build Back Better plan? And it says the exchange began with Cooper asking if he was close to closing a deal on the Build Back Better proposal. And Biden said, quote, I think so. You know, look, I was a senator for 370 years, and I was relatively good at putting together deals, unquote. Now, it could very well be that Biden was attempting to make a joke at his own expense, exaggerating the facts to fake poke fun at his old age. The audience did erupt into laughter as soon as he said it. But even if that was the case, there's no way to tell if he was serious or not from listening to his tone. As Biden spoke, he appeared distant and absent-minded, as if he had no idea where he was. Could this analysis be a bit of a stretch? Could Biden have simply been tired? Of course. But given his long history of similar gaffes, Biden hasn't exactly earned the benefit of the doubt. In fact, he has made several others on Thursday night alone. In yet another stunning display, the president at one point completely lost his train of thought. While addressing a question regarding the administration's failure to solve supply chain issues, Biden said the following, quote, with 40% of all products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles what am I doing here, Biden said. Cooper had to step in to save him, saying, was it Long Beach or? Biden responded, Long Beach, thank you. Now, can the American people truly put their faith in this man to lead them? As each day passes, when it comes to that question, more and more Americans are starting to answer no. And I've been answering no since the beginning. God bless you all, and I'll talk to you again on Friday. I'll be back on Monday for my next update. So I'll talk to you again. God bless you all. And I will see you next week. Goodbye.